Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing X-Men 97, Season 1, Episode 2, Mutant Liberation Begins. All that and more right over this.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
So, it's episode two, man.
Episode two, we're back. We're back, baby.
We dove right back in after our last podcast to watch this. So, only on a single watch of this episode.
Yep.
What do you think? What do you think of Magneto's sexy, sexy suit?
Man.
He's like leaning on that desk and with Rogue in the room, just like, ooh, hello.
Yep, yep. I wish I could pull off anything the way that he pulls off that skin tight suit.
I feel like that suit is the shot of him in the suit, like leaning on the desk, is equivalent of the Rogue butt shot. That's the meme from this cartoon. I feel like they were just trying to give a little bit. So you know, whatever your preference.
yeah. It's candy for both sides. It has to be given.
That's right.
Big things happen this episode, though.
Yeah. Sorry. Did I bury the lead, like, by bringing up Magneto's suit rather than Storm losing her powers?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, check out those abs. Also, Storm lost her powers.
That was so sad. Her letters, Jean, and like...
You promised you weren't going to get emotional.
We have lost our connection, like, dude. And I knew it, too. I knew that's what the gun did, and I knew it because earlier in the episode, she was like, I've considered being human, but then I would lose my connection with my family and my sister. And then it happens, and it's tragic. Why? Why did they do this to me?
I mean, we saw him working on that gun and had one of the inhibitor collars kind of feeding energy into it. So like,
oh, okay.
It kind of felt obvious that like, that's what they're going for with him.
Yeah.
But I just did not see it being Storm.
Yeah. That was rough, man. It really, really was. And yeah, a lot of things happened this episode. That, and then this connection between Rogue and Magneto, was that priorly set up? Apparently they had a relationship, it sounded like.
Yeah, they had a relationship back when she was a part of the Brotherhood.
Okay, I vaguely remember that. And so it looks like they're sort of getting back together. Gambit's not happy about it.
I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily that they're getting back together. I took it as she just wants to be able to touch someone else's skin that like she won't sap the power from.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's part of the attraction, but there's clearly an attraction, you know?
There's some magnetism.
Yeah. He's the master of magnetism, if you know what I mean.
Giggity. It's so weird, like, I don't know how his power is able to, like, stop hers from leaching, for lack of a better term, his.
Magneto's powers are... do a lot of things that are just not sure why. Like,
they're vague and indeterminate.
I mean, maybe it was always that way on the cartoon. It's been a long time since I watched the first two episodes, and they seem pretty consistent. But like, I don't remember Morph's powers being he can have the powers of anyone. And this episode, he definitely, like, he even achieved, like, Psylocke's martial arts skill. Like, what's that about?
So good.
It was very cool to see.
Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
And, like, he was also, like, he changed into Colossus.
Yeah, and was, like, yeah, indestructible. So Morph is now, like, the most powerful mutant, it feels like.
Yeah, that's like, what it seems like.
That's crazy. I don't know what his, like, weakness is, but, like, it just seems like he can do anything anyone else can do.
Well, part of Psylocke's power is the psychic-based energy blades, right, that she projects from her hand.
That's right.
He wasn't using those when he changed into Psylocke.
No, he just had
swords. He was just using her regular swords.
it feels like very, like, first off, that's a weapon. That's not something you think he could transition into, but I guess he can, and also have all of this martial arts skill. Like,
it's part of her identity, all right? Yeah. She comes with swords.
Morph is becoming OP. I think.
But, like, what I mean by that is, like, if he changes into somebody with more psychic-based powers, I don't know that he has those powers, but, like, there's not really rules around it
apparently,
that we've seen.
Apparently. We talked last episode about how it was very much a mirror of the first episode of the cartoon, which is, you know, Night of the Sentinels. They fight the Sentinels. They blah, you know, it's about bringing this young kid into the team, or at least, like, introducing him to the team. And it's a way into the team because you get to meet the team through his eyes, you know?
Yeah, it's basically a way to reintroduce us to that world.
Absolutely. And to very much mirror the first episode. The second episode, if you recall, of the animated series was...
Part two.
I guess it was probably the third episode. Yeah, sure. the third episode. Magneto goes to break Beast out of prison, and Beast says, "No, I'm going to stand trial." Which is really fun, because that's the way that Beast says, "No, I'm going to trust the system. I'm going to go in, stand trial, and let them judge me, because I'm not going to run. I'm not going to fight. I this is part of our mission." And so this episode, doing the same thing, but it being Magneto, was really cool. Like, it was a really cool connection to that first season of the original series.
Yeah, I love that it's not only I'm going to trust the system, but it's I'm going to show everyone and the system that I can be trusted.
Yes.
To adhere to these wishes, regardless of my ability to not be caged or captured by any means that you have. Like, I'm way more powerful than anything you have.
Right.
I am submitting to your system of my own free will.
Yeah. When he let them put that inhibitor collar on him, I was shocked, honestly. Like, I saw him, like, hey, put, like, very much like the Superman and Man of Steel, like, put the handcuffs on me. I did not expect him to let them inhibit his powers, because I just didn't expect it. I don't know. I thought he would not go that far, but he did. He let it happen. That was a big move. Big, bold move.
Big, bold move from the Magneto.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And when he made those, basically the electrode fence for all of the insurrectionists, so to speak.
Right? The insurrectionists.
they called it an insurrection.
Did
right?
they? I missed that. That's
they
funny.
They called it that on the news. Oh, also, by the way, the news channel that Logan was watching was WHIH.
I saw that. Did you notice in the last episode that a newspaper flies by and it was the Daily Bugle?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, in episode one, you see like a little rustling paper hit the screen. It's right after you see Leech for a second, and he falls back. Like, a paper flies across the screen. It's a Daily Bugle.
I think Leech and Marrow were in that alleyway.
Yes, yes.
And then we saw them like full on in this episode. I was like, oh shit, we're doing it.
We're really doing it, baby.
He
had such a good point. He was like, you know, why have you let them like languish down there? Like, why?
Yeah.
Charles had all this money. Why did we not just send them to Genosha?
Why haven't you helped them in any way?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very valid point, Magneto.
Yeah.
Like, Magneto has always had valid points. He just goes a little too far. And now he just seems like he has this... He's making valid points, but they're also, like, he's staying within the lines. He's
He's reeling it in.
Yeah. That storming the building scene, I couldn't believe they were doing that. Like, we talked last episode about the politics of this show seemed very on the nose, but then having the...
It's like, oh shit, they're going for January 6th, yeah, right there.
Definitely doing a January 6th thing. That was wild, man.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, the guards being out there, like, the one guard having a gun and, like, everybody else being overpowered was like, oh, it's too real. It's too real.
It felt a little too real. And I know, like, yeah, it feels very much like, I feel like that scene could have existed in the earlier cartoon and not meant so much, but like in the context of today, this show is trying to say some things. I like it.
Yeah, it's it got real heavy for a bit there.
Yeah,
but oh my god, the scene with when Magneto took all of the UN judges up and like also executioner up.
And is this like, the high road destination?
Oh,
I say,
God.
As I have said many times before, never again.
Oh, it's so good. When he took them up and was like, an old friend reminded me of this view of the world, that it is so vast, even though we make it feel so small.
Yeah.
Was so just... It hurt my heart, Matt. It tugged on the heartstrings real good. And then, like, you see the tear streaming down his face. Oh.
He said, I do not ask you to embrace my people as your own, just to see that this is a shared world and we have the right to live in it.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh, it's so good. Oh, and then he said, don't make me let you down. Which is such a good line when he's hanging up above the world.
Such a good threat.
Such a good threat. Oh, it's so good.
Like, he's like, I want to do good. You want me to do good. You keep pushing my buttons, and I'm going to go off on your ass.
Yeah.
It's going to let us all down. All right? I've been there. I can go back.
which Summers boy was Nathan Summers?
Nathaniel.
Is that Cable?
That's Cable. Yep.
Weird. I didn't realize Cable was their kid or whoever this Jean's kid is. I thought he was further out in the future, but I didn't realize that.
You remember when we were talking about,
the toy leaks and stuff
this way before or like several weeks ago?
Yep.
Goblin Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Has a baby with Scott. That baby is Cable.
Okay.
That's baby Cable.
Interesting. This is going to be weird, man. It's going to get real weird with the two genes. I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Yeah. I withheld that information from you so that you could be surprised during the show.
Yeah.
And then people have come out of the woodwork just being like, why don't you guys know stuff? Like, look things up on the internet.
No.
Like,
that's the fun.
I want Matt to be Matt like surprise. Okay.
Yeah, I do. And I like, we are a show. And if you're newer to the show, we haven't said this in a while. But we are a show that watches the MCU and experiences it. We're not trying to be a comics show that knows all the lore of the comics.
Yeah.
We want to be a show that like presents this stuff as fresh as we can. Sometimes there's some comic storylines that are just too big to not talk about and speculate about. But for the most part, we try to be an MCU show that like, and I mean, this isn't even MCU, but it's like, sort of like the knowledge that you guys are coming. A lot of people, there's a lot more people out there who are just MCU fans who know a lot of the deep lore of the comics, and not everybody wants to be spoiled by everything. So that's the kind of show we're making. But yeah, my favorite line of the episode, he's here. Who? Apocalypse?
Shink! He pulls the cloth. I died laughing.
I died. I laughed so hard. And then she says, the baby. And he's like, oh, crap.
Oh, crap.
She gives him she throws his jacket on him, yeah, throws the keys into his hand, and he's, oh, crap.
And then they're driving down the street, and she's moving people out of the way. Like, yep. It was so good. It was so good.
I was
so
like,
good.
That is so nice of her to give that guy his drink back.
Yeah, it really was. Like, the drink lowers in his hand.
So considerate.
So considerate, even that time of intense intensity.
And then she tore the roof off the Jeep. It was so good.
It was. It really was.
Oh man. My God.
Them saying they don't do mutant bursts, that was some...
Oh. Oof. That pissed me off. That pissed me off a lot.
Yeah, it really, really made me mad.
And then, like, I had a little bit of a gripe because it's something that I would have done differently, but, like, having Rogue sap his knowledge seems kind of wrong. Like, when she saps somebody's power, like, she takes it from them for a bit. Like, they don't also have it. So, like, she could have sapped Jean's power and, like, lessened it, you know, in order to help him feel more comfortable. Like, here's what we're willing to do for you, rather than, like, suck away part of your life force so that we can do it without you.
Sure, but two things. Like, is he going to trust them? Like, you know, is this guy who's, you know, seems, like, I want to say he just seems bigoted, but I guess there's a possibility he does, and I agree, he is bigoted, but, like, there is also the chance that they could hurt him, like I understand his fear, but it's, like, it's just a crazy thing. This show is doing the social commentary very well, where, like, I've been saying this since we started talking about bringing the X-Men in the MCU, like, people that fear a bunch of teenagers getting crazy superpowers, they're right. Like, that's scary. Right. That's really scary.
Teenagers are the worst people.
Why would you give them power?
To have powers.
that all happens. And, like, I just thought that was intense. But two things I was trying to get to. Sorry. Two things. I'm not sure he would have believed them. And secondly, when Rogue zaps people's powers, it also tends to make them very weak and, like, almost kill them if she goes too long.
Dangerous for the baby.
Yeah, dangerous for the baby is what I was getting at.
Dangerous for Jean and the baby.
I kind of love that she took the knowledge and just did it. Also, I also think it's setting up the powers that she has, because I think everybody knows she zaps I don't think that's as commonly talked about, the fact that she zaps their mind as well. I think they're trying to pepper in a little bit of continuity so people know all their power sets and stuff. Yeah. Too.
You remember all those times when Rogue is, like, crippled by her own mind because she sapped Carol Danvers' power and mind so much that she left her in a coma for a while? Yeah, same thing. It does that here too.
Yeah. It made sense. I do kind of wish that they'd shown Rogue delivering other babies, though. Like, yeah. That would have been, like, really fun.
While he's out, I got this, guys.
Yeah, like, who's next? Strap on the gloves.
Well, okay, so, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the process for childbirth in modern medicine in America is that, like, the mother has an OBGYN that she goes to, somebody who is with her the whole time, like, helping her through the process as long as, you know,
generally that's paid for. I don't know.
And then they are there and, like, they're ready for when the birth is going to happen. So they're there to catch the baby when it pops out.
Everything I know about this, I know from movies. So, like, sure. I can't really give you real answers, but I do think that there's a lot of cases where, from what I've understood, there's a lot of cases where, like, you may have a birth plan, but if the baby comes and you're doctor's out of town, or your doctor's
nobody's
not on call,
ready.
Nobody can call them, blah, 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 and it's coming quick. Like, sometimes you just end up with a different doctor.
Yeah.
It does seem like the hospital would have arrangements, though, for mutants, though. Or, like,
yeah, you would think. Yeah. You would think. Yeah. Like, with that being such a prevalent thing with society, you know, like, oh, we need, this is the mutant hospital, or this is the mutant wing, or these are our steps to help keeping this safe, mothers.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, like it seems like there should be a way to do that. And that guy just seemed like a bigot who wasn't.
Yeah, that guy was just an asshole.
Yeah.
So I guess there's also, you know, we have to take into account that she may not have either been able to afford prenatal care.
This is Charles Xavier money.
Yeah, Charles Xavier money is kind of, that would,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, that doesn't, I don't like
it
that.
I think it's just going to have to be like the fact that she's at a different hospital or a different doctor.
She doesn't have insurance. Because she doesn't have a job or something.
Yeah, it's a little weird. If you look at that too closely, it doesn't really make
sense. It's Logan's fault. He didn't know which hospital to go to.
That's true. That's so probably he just true. Went. thought it was funny with Jean. He's talking. Cyclops is talking about how Charles left all his stuff to Magneto. And he says, "Jean, did he not trust me?" And she says, "Maybe he did this for us."
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it, Jean. You want to leave, but I'm going through something right now.
Right. Like, our former arch nemesis is here taking over the team. I kind of would like to see a good handoff happen and maybe have him not betray everybody and completely destroy everything we've ever tried to build. We can't leave right now, Jean. We got shit happening.
I just love that, like, he's going through this emotional thing and she's like, how about the thing I said last episode I wanted? How about we do that? Which at first I thought was just funny. Now I think it might be a clue that she's not actually Jean. Like, this
she's trying
all
to take him away
her.
From.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to pull him out of the X-Men because it's part of whatever plan this, I'm assuming she's the false Jean and that's why this is all happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the line, when Cyclops tried to offer Magneto a drink, and he's like, poison?
Dark roast.
I laughed really hard at poison. It was good. It was a good line.
Yeah. I love his like, it's almost lighthearted, the way he's like, I know you don't trust me. Like, whatever, man. I'm just going to live my life. Y'all are going to see that I am who I am. You know, I can't do anything but me. Right? Yeah. Like, I can do me, I can't do you. If you're going to give me some coffee, sure, I'll just, whatever, man, let's go for it.
Yeah. Saddest thing in the episode, though, and like, oh my lord, it really got me. It was really sad. Storm flinching at the thunder.
Oh.
Like, Storm laying on the ground and like,
crawling.
Trying to feel the breeze, you know, and she's like, the breeze, I can't feel it. I can't feel the air. I can't feel the water. I can't. And that was sad. Like, that was really hard to watch. But Storm flinching when she heard thunder, because she's just never been surprised by the weather before.
Yep.
Was just so sad and so well done. Like, so well done. That's one of those things I will remember about this show, you know, like, that's a great, like, you think back at great episodes of good, like, animated series, and sometimes they just do those, like, just the right thing at the right, and I think that's such a, like, poignant moment for Storm.
For like a split second I was like, does this mean Thor's coming? Is Thor gonna show up and be like, oh, my condolences, like, I saw you lose your power?
Yeah. I'd like to see Storm pick up Mjolnir on the show. I would love to see some more crossover stuff. The Daily Bugle tease, the WHIH tease. Like, I feel like it's in there. And you know, the old show, crossover with Spider-Man, it'd be really fun to see that, even that Spider-Man show up again after all these years, you know?
Well, have you noticed in the Marvel Animation thing, there's the old Spider-Man.
Yep.
Animated in there. And then
I did. You know, it's like one of the first things you see when the thing flips up. I was like, wait. It made me think we might get him.
Yep, Spider-Man and his amazing friends. And then Zombie Captain America is in there. Yes!
I want to see it all. I want to see it all crossover. We've seen the two episode premiere. I feel like we've both been pretty effusive. We like it. It's good. It's exciting. Yeah. It's nostalgic. Do you think it's going to have anything to do with the MCU? Will this crossover? Will there be a bridge between them?
I think so. I think I don't think it's going to be a big crossover.
Okay.
They're leaving enough of a breadcrumb trail with the Daily Bugle and WHIH.
Yep.
You know, and the stuff like in the opening animation or whatever. I think there's enough with that for them to kind of gently push us in the direction of like this, this is part of the multiverse, right? This is like, this is one of many.
I think if they don't do something with Deadpool and Wolverine to sort of cross this over, it'll be a missed opportunity. You don't even have to make it like perfect, but like this version of Magneto showing up or this version of Wolverine particularly, or Cyclops or whoever, like showing up would be really, really fun. Just seeing the entire team, even if they like literally cast this entire team with like actors that they're never going to use again, and they're just in like one shot, but we get to see this team in live action, it would be pretty cool.
Well, at the end of the Marvels, we did see Beast, and
he
looked pretty much exactly like this Beast, like
big,
giant, hairy, blue guy.
Big, and played by a... Gosh, what's his friggin' name?
Frasier. Kelsey Grammer.
I almost said Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Like, Brendan Fraser Kelsey Grammer is his full name.
All right. Well, man, I'm excited. I guess we're dropping... I haven't really looked into it, but I think they're doing one episode a week from now on.
Yeah, I think it was two to start and then one episode a week after that.
That's what I figured. It's 10 episodes total.
You know, for the next 9 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Or no, for the next 8 weeks.
Well, we're going to be keeping doing this, talking about this show. We're also going to be taking your feedback, doing news episodes. We'll be all over the feed. Again, I wanted to mention April 2nd, we're doing our big multiverse news 1 year anniversary. So if you're into that, come hang out with us. We'll be posting about it in the Stranded Panda chat, and we'll be on YouTube at Stranded Panda and on Twitch at twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, my X-Men. Charles's X-Men? True X-Men!
Ooh.
X-Men believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.